loves you. And this is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and We Can Stand Up. That's Sugarland, and great show. Always love being in here after the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck and Kauai Store. And we so appreciate our underwriters because they bring this show on air.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilus. The store has authentic Kauai products, including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We really appreciate all of our supporters that have been in this recent fund drive. And in the studio with me today, I have Paul Massey helping with phones and everything else. Paul, say hi.
Hey, Felicia. It's great to be here with you and with the KKCR Ohana and the wild band of merrymakers that shows up for every bluegrass show.
I know. It's like walking into a party, so it's great. And I have a new volunteer in the studio with me, too. Malcolm, you want to say hi?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
This is Malcolm Holden.
Hello there.
And when people want to join the KKCR team, you just kind of contact the place up here and... So Malcolm is in here. He's going to be joining us a little bit for talking story on the show, but he's just learning a little bit about what we got going on here. And KKCR is the studio, the community station that is really a representation of all of us. And Marshall, my really good co-host on the show, he happens to be in the East Coast right now. Marshall, if you're listening... we love you, your mom, Carol, Marshall's brother passed away unexpectedly last week, so he's over there helping the family, the kids and stuff, and so he will likely be off the air for a few weeks as he tries to malama.
Much love to you, Brother Marshall.
Yes, and keeping your family together. We know Ohana is the number one thing, and much love to you, Carol, for your loss. So, today's show is largely about, like, if I give it a title, I would say Building Solutions. And Paul and I just came back from the Bioneers Conference, and that was really a lot of fun. Do you want to share with them a little bit what Bioneers was?
Sure. So, for people who are unfamiliar, Bioneers is an annual conference. It happens, I think, the same week in October every year. It's held in San Rafael, California. about 2,000 people show up, and there's a string of featured speakers, including the organizers themselves are quite innovators, and Kenny Acebell and Nina Simons, and then assisted by a great staff. Basically, it's a focus on positive solutions for the biggest challenges that we face here on the planet Earth right now, from an economic, ecological, social justice, and indigenous rights standpoint. Mm. So all of those things converging together. And, of course, these are not issues that exist in isolation, but they're all interwoven. So it's a holistic approach, and it's one of these kind of summits where you get a lot of experts together able to collaborate. So imagining that some of the best work that's done at Bioneers is not only inspiration that the 2,000-some-odd participants have, but probably spontaneous networking discussions that happen between these experts and even just concerned citizens, an opportunity for everybody to be at the same level playing field of discussion and trying to find solutions together. So pretty great, a pretty great offering.
Yeah, it was really a lot of good people, and anybody attending, pretty much anybody you're talking to, it's just like this download of intelligence and passion and capacity, and a lot of young people too. I'm looking at you, Malcolm, because you're kind of you know, there's a lot of people around your age. You're 21, right?
Yeah, yes, I am.
There's a lot of people around your age. Some of the key speakers that were sharing had done these amazing things in their early 20s. Who maybe then were old now, like 25, right, when they're talking. They're you know, some young leaders. And I found that, like, I am really excited to get some of them over here. I always introduce myself to different people. And a nice thing about this 9671 zip code, 14 zip code, or Kauai, people are willing to come. You know, and you say, hey, we want to work on some stuff. They're like, yeah. They don't say, I'm busy.
People just understand that there needs to be a change, you know, and now they have a voice. They can speak out when they come down here, you know.
You mean at the station?
Oh, yeah, at the station. You know,
at the station, for sure.
At the station, definitely. You know, a lot of people don't get that chance to speak out about the truth, about what they see as the truth. So I'm like, I'm very glad to be here. And thank you, Felicia, for letting me come by.
Yeah, well,
it sure gave us a boost at Bioneers when we were able to tell people that we had a community radio station where we could spread the word and host the discussion. So you're right on there, brother.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and we are in this conversation about helping Kauai to be what they call a resilient community in their network, so that some of the dialogues and the films and the pieces, when you're in the discussion time, they call it a plenary. I don't really know what that word means, though.
That means everybody together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they use that word. I didn't know that word. But I figured it out, but I don't. It's not a word that I usually use, but it's like a big auditorium environment and with music and different things. But it reminded me of what I see on YouTube or something as a TED Talk. And so all these different speakers speaking for like 20 minutes, and when they do these communities that are in their network, you can show the films, bring it together with some of the people in our own community, because actually we do really amazing things here. All kinds of amazing things happen here in Hawaii and on Kauai, and then some of them can come out and do pieces like that. And I know, Paul, you and I have a plan to be bringing some of these films that we saw to different groups, you know, in the next few months. And just, you know, if people want to be showing it, like at KCC with the youth group, or in fact, we should have grabbed Jimmy Trujillo. He's like perfect for that.
Well, yes, the networking opportunities abound here at KKCR. He was just on the last show representing, of course, also Kauai Community College and the Sustainable Agriculture Program there with his apiary program. And I know that he's participated on the sustainability committee at KCC and has helped many an Earth Day event happen in a good way. That would obviously be a good match for the Bioneers offerings. And I was reminded from Dove and Dean that the Bioneers radio program is being aired here, right here on KKCR.
It was on last night.
Every other Monday night.
5 to 6.
Yeah.
And what I see with the Hawaii's Aloha Aina movement, whether that is clean agriculture or taking care of the mountains, or, you know, we have so many different issues going on, and such a huge youthful movement. We love all the ages. Everybody's part of it, but it seemed absolutely on point. I hope next year that there are more people from Hawaii. I didn't see Kalani Sousa there. I saw that he was scheduled as a speaker.
Really?
And I know his health hasn't been 100%, so maybe he didn't make it, but maybe he did. So Kalani Sousa, he's one of our really talented spiritual leaders, I would say. You know, Kumu's on Hawaii Island. He does really great things, and so he was at least on the agenda there. What were the high points for you, Marshall? I mean, I called you Marshall Paul. What were the high points for you in the event?
High points for me were, well, experiencing Bioneers for the first time. I'd certainly heard about it for many years from my dear friend John Parziali, who'd gone in the early days and was so inspired. I think I was really enjoying Kenny Ossibel's keynote address to sort of launch the event, hearing about how even in this time of great climate uncertainty and peril worldwide, that there are some really solid actions being taken by corporations and governments to try and make some large-scale change. And sometimes it's easy to sort of miss those or just assume that it's all gloom and doom. And to come away just with that sense that people are being innovative and they are coming up with solutions that can make a change. Hearing about Paul Hawkins' Project Drawdown, which is an effort to identify the 100 most effective actions we can take, common sense or easy for folks to achieve, things that we can change about our behaviors that can help to draw down the impacts of our actions on the climate.
I liked one of the things that he put up there on the screen that was, I've used that with my students before. He had a little like circle that was maybe the size of the bottom of a jar, and he said, if this was the size of a person, how much, if you put everybody together, how much land would it take up? And, you know, he's kind of asking people to guess now, because I've done this before with my own students. I wasn't, you know, I kind of was already ready for that one. But he was showing how it really, it's just a small mark in the Bay Area. It's not in the Bay Area of California.
Well, it fit within the conference grounds, essentially.
Yeah, because it was a smaller one. And I know when I've done the math problem with my students, I've said, if we took up 1.5 square feet, if we stood together, you know, if that's what our body took up on the ground, and we put 7 billion people on it, it would easily fit on the island of Kauai. And then he also showed, okay, well, what is our carbon output with all of our bad behavior right now? And it was bigger than that. But it's still, you know, if you zoomed out to look at the planet, you would never even begin to see it. It was maybe, you know.
But I was confused. Was that a solid sphere of carbon? Like, would that be an immensely heavy object, or was it just? So it was a bit. I think more importantly than sort of, I think that the reason that he did it was because it caused us to think about it in a new way. And it caused us to be able to say, okay, this is a problem that we can actually address because it's not so monumental in size.
That's right. And I know when I've worked with the kids on it and looked at it, is like not to be looking at things from a fear-based perspective, like, you know, the world is over. We need to be making differences and changes. But when there's a sense that there's just too many human beings, there's not too many human beings. We just have to change our habits. And so it is something that we can do. And Malcolm, what do you think about what's going on with the weather?
With the weather? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? About the heat rising and stuff?
Yeah, they call it climate disruption. Is it, you know, the climate is changing. We're mm-hmm. seeing that, and, there's many different perspectives on why that's happening, but I just wondered if that is something that you have focused on yet.
To be honest, I have not.
Okay.
Not at all.
That's fine, but for many people, it's a very big issue. Mm-hmm. We have so much pollution, and we are seeing, drought and storms.
You don't think that's a problem from, like, having too many people?
Well, that's what's said. I mean, it's too much pollution. And then, there are people who feel pretty strongly that there is weather experimentation that goes on. And I see all kinds of pictures and data that are sent to me where they really are. And I go in on Google Maps and you can see where they have all of these, like Nextel antenna. And you just think, well, why would they need 15 in this pattern? Mm-hmm. Is that really just telling what's going on? So that's, some people will say that. So I'm just allowing that.
If they're having any luck, wouldn't California be getting rain right now?
If they were trying to create the rain.
Exactly.
If they were trying to create the rain. So some people feel that they aren't, but there's a problem. So there's a little bit about that. I was really excited to see some of the technology pieces that people were doing that help individuals organize. And I like this thing called Public Lab where, instead of feeling like, okay, unless you are got a bunch of letters after your name and your many degrees in science, whatever you're assessing doesn't matter. This is something that had kind of come out of the Gulf oil spill where young people were taking their own data collections and actually getting really quite good at it. And they basically called out the oil companies for what wasn't really truth.
Accurate science.
Right? Accurate science.
Right. So putting the power into the hands of the 99% and those who are truly impacted directly by ecological calamity, essentially, and even social calamity. Some powerful tools that we could bring back here to Kauai to help organize and give strength to our public movements toward a safer and healthier future, which has obviously been demonstrated by our community in the past few years,
yes.
How important that is.
And I was kind of excited to see, I got to experiment with it, but there's something called Lumio, which is, this comes from a loom, like weaving work efforts together as a loom. And it came out of New Zealand, it's to help people make an organized movement where the group discussion kind of morphs and says, okay, well, let's do this, let's do this. It helps to make decisions and helps to disseminate information really quickly. And it's being used around the world. So that was really good. I'm looking at some of these people who spoke, and I'm seeing Fania Davis. She is the executive director of Restorative Justice for Oakland Youth. And, she and some of the people who had been in her program had such a powerful testimony of the unfair way these kids are treated, and that, like, when they're planning their prison rooms, they're doing the inquiry with how many students they have in third grade, and they start to adapt for what they're going to need for holding the prison. So it's a school-to-prison pipeline that has been profound in Oakland and I'm sure in some other places. And she was a really amazing person and an activist from the very beginning. And there had been, I don't know if you're old enough to know about this, Malcolm, but they had like a church bombing in Alabama and four little girls were killed. Did you ever hear about that?
Yes.
So she was in that churchyard, and two of those girls were her best friend, and
ooh.
She was out of the room or, in a different spot, so she didn't die. But so as a child, she had that impression on her, and she kind of kept it going and moving. And I was really happy to hear that, Oakland school systems put more than $2 million just for this school year alone. And that they're having really good output and really having a noticeable improvement of creating opportunities instead of crushing people. And I, honestly, she's one of the ones I would really love to get over here, because I feel like we are over-incarcerating our youth.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And just sending them in a bad direction. As soon as they start school, they're already surrounded by all this negativity and already living in a negative state, you know, not in a negative state, but in a negative home. When they go to school, it's still negative because they're surrounded by bad food, poisonous foods, poisonous music, poisonous air that they breathe in. So if you're surrounded by all that negativity, there's only, you know, pretty much only one route is negativity. And that's what the life people start to live, and they don't see it.
And I think in probably in Oakland is maybe a little bit more profound than in Kauai, because we have pretty good air, and you know, we have you know, I think we have it a little bit easier here. I don't know, but it's you were speaking about music, and I know that you're really interested in music. And
tell us a little bit
about music and its influence for you as a young
hip-hop. How was it an influence to me? I don't know, it just, it's kind of like a religion. It's a way of life to me. You know, I went through hip-hop and, like, saw the wrongs and I saw the rights. And the hip-hop was nothing but positivity. It actually pretty much molded me into become the person that I am today. And I believe that the negativity with the radio, with all the new and upcoming artists talking about being bad, doing drugs, degrading themselves, and degrading women, I just never saw that. And I always thought that was a bad thing. I always thought that had a big impact on the mind, the subconscious. Because when you grow up with negativity through music, you think that's okay. Because no one's telling you, hey, that's not okay. Even parents aren't being like, hey, that's cool, you know, because it has a bumpy, you know, has a nice beat to it. But people really don't understand that that really affects the psyche. And it molds people. Like, I have a little brother who's never seen, you know, I hate, like, drugs or been in a situation with bad people, you know. But he listens to all this music, and that's what he really believes that's his life is about. Like, he really believes, like, I'm a gangster, I'm a thug, because of the music that he listens to. And I believe that with everyone, especially with the little girls out there nowadays listening to the music and being objectified. That has a big role in music, because rap. Because there is a difference between hip-hop and rap. Rap is mind-controlling, it's brainwashing. And when, I don't know, I just believe that when you are not force-fed, but when you are constantly surrounded by rap music and people not telling you this is not okay to listen to, you start to grow up to be like, hey, you know, it's, what I'm doing is not bad. If I'm going to wear these short shorts, 12 years old, it's cool. No, nothing's wrong with it, because society thinks it's okay and no one's stopping them, you know. And I believe that once you get a clear picture between what hip-hop is and what rap is, and then you get the parents to also realize what the differences are, even with music, you know, once we start seeing the positivity and how that really affects people, you know, that's when I think there is a growth. But right now, we're stuck in this party phase. It's nothing but partying, nothing but just go out and ruin our bodies, let's get unhealthy. And, like, I really just want to make a stand and just let everyone know that's not what life is about. Like, that's not what hip-hop is about, you know. Hip-hop is life. Hip-hop is love. It's like a religion. You know, all religions, it comes down to one thing. It's about love. And that's what I believe hip-hop is. You know, that's the way I live my life.
And do you do hip-hop or you play hip-hop?
You do. You are hip-hop.
I mean, are you an artist?
Yes. I go by Recycled Materials.
That's your name?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, what I do, I make beats. You know, I produce beats from old school music from like 60s to 70s, Nigerian Afro jazz music, from bossa nova to country, from orchestrated music, you know. And that's the one thing I don't really agree with rap, because in hip-hop, it's universal. It goes everywhere. Everyone knows about hip-hop, because hip-hop, it digs in everyone's pockets in a good way. And with rap, you don't really, you're stuck. You're stuck in one spot, and with hip-hop, your mind expands. And so back to, like, I do produce so I could bring back the old stuff and authenticate it and have it relate to the kids nowadays so they could have a better understanding at how a soul should feel or how a human should feel when listening to certain types of music. Because music is a big, big, big thing. You know, it's like eating McDonald's. You know, when you eat McDonald's, you're just going to feel like, ugh, you're going to feel bad. But when you eat an apple, you're like energized and you love everything that's happening. And that's how I feel about the differences between hip hop and rap.
Now, we met, just in the past, like
a couple months,
something,
about two, 3 months.
About 2, 3 months ago, and then we've been talking about different things, and then mm-hmm. had a few musical experiences where listening to some stuff. What are some of your favorite artists?
I could go on for days.
Give me like 3 or 4.
3 or 4. Depending as either like it's production. Oh, I'll start with MCs. Mos Def. Let me just back that up. Black Star, which contains Mos Def and Talib Kweli. MF Doom and KRS-One is a big one. Big influence on my life. Sound providers. I wish I brought my list because I could go on for days.
Well, if you were doing a show, would you, when we're looking at, like, if you wanted to do a show, would it be just music or would it be music and then you're talking about stuff? Like, this is a talk show and where we're looking at issues, you know? Sometimes you could do a youth-oriented, or I don't even want to call it youth-oriented because anybody could be any age, but I'll just hold my age that I'm, I'm listen to less of that. You know, I have different songs and music, but actually we found a number of songs, I think, that we...
Like, what was that one cat's name?
Kanan.
Kanan, yeah.
Kanan.
Yeah, that's some dude, like, I never heard of him before, but a lot of people are into him because he talks about his struggle, but in a more, he doesn't glamorize his struggles.
He's actually a singer of hope.
He really is.
He's from Somalia, so he came from a really difficult place. Now, you didn't grow up here. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in L.A.,
so did any of your friends have struggles the way like they were seeing in Oakland?
Oh, I had, there's struggles everywhere. And yes, I've had a couple friends who took the wrong path and got stuck in a dark hole. And it's very sad to see. And I believe that was the environment that they grew up around. And I grew up in the suburbs. Like, I didn't grow up a bad life. I grew up a very nice life. My parents made sure that. But I still have friends who grew up the same way I did. But with the music that they were playing, because, you know, we still bring in race. You know, if you're black, you had to do black things. And I don't even know what that even supposed to, like, what does that even mean? Like, I'm a human being. But we're still stuck in colors. So my best buddy, Patrick, he was the most smartest cat. Like, he was down to earth, had good grades, was not a bad kid, but was listening to bad music. And since I grew up in the suburbs, it's nothing but a whole bunch of, you know, white kids out there, which is, like, not a problem or anything. But to him, he had to feel like he needed to be what they call black, which they put that with ghetto. You know, if you're ghetto, you're black, which makes no sense.
Do you identify with one race or the other?
I'm a human.
Yeah.
Like, if I bleed, you're going to bleed the same color I bleed, you know, red. And we all have small intestines, we all have big intestines, gallbladders, throats, esophagus, we're all the same person. You know, we just have to really stop looking at color. Color, what is, you know, it's a part of the rainbow, it's a spectrum of the rainbow. Like, I was always told to act my age and not my color, because colors don't exist.
Well, to me, you seem like another young agriculturist, farmer. We have a number of farmer people. And you do agriculture, right? You're part of the plants?
I do agriculture. I do landscaping. I do permaculturing. I do everything I can to help myself and help the people around me and teach them the ways, a natural way to build besides of using, you know, horrible substances. Substances that's going to hurt them and hurt the planet as well.
Mm. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and we've got Paul Massey and Malcolm Holden in the studio with us.
Yeah, and the three of us, permaculture advocates.
Mm.
Great to hear that you're on that mission.
Oh,
after
yeah.
everything you said before that. I'm like, oh, damn, we're on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good to me. So
I'm on the righteous team.
We need lots of people spreading out there and helping to open people's eyes to the alternatives. And a lot of it is just rooted so deeply in Hawaiian traditions, whether we know it or not. The good stewardship of this earth has been done for countless generations here. And so as we open our eyes to the traditions that have been ongoing and perpetuated in continuity for all time, but with all of the new technologies that we can bring to bear and the new ways of expressing how to care for the land, it's the greatest time to be alive as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
It's the greatest time of need, and it's the greatest time of capability for us to make the change we need.
And it's fun that we can publish our own music, our own works, our own... almost anything, our own art. You can sell whatever you're doing. You know, it's really the playing field has been changed dramatically, so we can do, you know, what we want. And the number to call in if people want to call in is 826-7771. And what we're seeing across this community is so many people and organizations working to make a difference. Some successes that are out there. Like, I just want to say, this Thursday, Habitat for Humanity is having a blessing party there at Kukui'ula Shopping Center in Poipu. And that's for the start of their new groundbreaking and building there in Ele'ele. And so that's from 5 to 7. That's a big yay. I think Habitat for Humanity is a really good program because people build their own houses. You know, they all get together. Are you familiar with that program?
What program?
Habitat for Humanity?
Kind of, sort of, not really.
Well, it's people all sign up, and then they work on a neighborhood. They basically build a neighborhood of houses, and one of them's going to be theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's called self-help housing. Here, housing is such a big issue and so difficult to be able to be making happen. And so that is one really, really good program, and we have...
And that's happening when again?
Thursday at, let me look on my schedule here. I think it's like 5 to 7 o'clock. I am going to be going to the water department meeting. That's been good, too. There's water going on. Water meetings, the Department of Water is going community to community. And so because we were gone, I was unable to get to the one in Kilauea. So I'm going to go to the one in Lihue, and we're learning about that. Do we have a call? Okay, hang on. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Felicia. This is Charlie Martin.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Neighbor, hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. And aloha to all the Kauai neighbors. And since I just said my name, Charlie Martin, and you heard me, I'm the chairperson of the election committee for the Kilauea Neighborhood Association this year. KNA is the most active community organization on Kauai. As most people do know, see it in the newspapers and hear about it on the radio. And when Kauai County Council is reviewing a new development or a project that needs approval for a special management area permit, or if the county planning director or the county planning commission chair, if they need to have input, they oftentimes refer the prospective permittees to come before the Kilauea Neighborhood Association for our opinion and our review of the facts. Right now, if you'd like to be if anyone out there would like to, in the Kilauea area, would like to be a part of that process, to have a say about how your neighborhood grows, to be a part of the solutions to the Ko'olau Moku's housing and infrastructure needs, which is where we live, or if you own a business between Anahola and Amini, that's the Moku of Ko'olau. If your answer is no, I'm sorry. Stop right here. You're not eligible because you have to live in the Kilauea area to be eligible to be on the board and or have a business in the area. The current KNA board of directors weighs heavily on the over 30 age group right now, and it would be, in all fairness, to get the younger millennial generation to get represented. So nominate yourself. If there's any like-minded people or a relative that you know that's going to represent their peers, come on out. if you feel positive about a person you know, you think that they could represent you, put their name down. This is your chance.
So when are you having the election? Is it next Tuesday?
It's going to be, the nominations begin next Tuesday. This is the chance once a year that this happens. And the board of directors, it's just around the corner. The term begins January 7th, 2016. It's a two-year term. And the board meets on the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. So next Tuesday at 7 p.m., probably around 7:30, is when things will get rolling. But be there at 7, it's better. And the Kilauea Neighborhood Center is right next to the Kilauea Gym. Everybody knows where the farmer's market is there. It's right behind that. Nomination submissions don't close until just before the December 1st meeting, which is the Tuesday after this next coming Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month. And I'd like to add, there's a sign-up sheet at Kilauea Bakery on Pahana Pizza on the railing out as you leave the exit door there on the right-hand side, and for people to throw their names in the ring if they want. And there's also one on, actually, a couple places. It's the same volunteer sign-up online on Facebook, on the KNA Facebook page, which is facebook.com, kna.kuai. Then on our blog, kna-kuai.org, and you can get to the link that way. The other link is kind of long and arduous. But thank you, everybody. Mahalo nui aloha for listening, and I'll be here to answer any questions.
Great, Charlie. Thanks so much. So just curious to know, are most of the people who are currently serving on the board seeking re-election, are the new nominations, does it mean that somebody needs to be replaced? What's the dynamic there?
Yeah, what happens
there?
Is we have seven people are replaced every year. So it's always rotating. We don't have, we can have people, if we don't have enough people to sign up to, you know, for nominations, then sometimes we force people to stay, you know, longer, and there's people that just don't want to go anywhere else because they do so well. But that's the way it's set up, is every year there's seven that are up for grabs, seven positions up for grabs.
And your darling daughter, Tamara, she's still on it, right? She makes a big difference.
No, she was, but she works at Waipa, and she's a teacher in Lihue, so...
Too busy.
Too busy, yeah. She bowed out.
Okay, and I see that you mentioned the Aha Moku. You mentioned the Moku of Ko'olau, and that there's a new Aha Moku program, which is it's getting underway, and Auntie Aggie is heading that one, and that'll be
That's
meeting.
That's why I referred to that, because we're all going back to Hawaiian place names, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, and so... their event, I think, is on the 27th. I'm pulling it up. Yeah, it is. Oh, my gosh. That doesn't look quite right. October 27th, something like that. I will find out, and I will
okay.
I will put that before the end of the day. But for now, it is coming up next Tuesday, so it would be right after this show. Yeah, I see. It's the 27th at Anahola Clubhouse.
Hers is on the Tuesday, too?
Hers is at the 27th, so I got to just look at it.
Okay.
And so that is Tuesday the 27th, so that's
hers
today.
Hers is at the end of the month, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And could you take high school students or even younger to sort of stretch that representation?
We have never had high school students. The youngest we've had, I think, is 18, 19 years old, something like that. I don't see why they couldn't be. It might be a good learning experience for them.
Indeed, and for us as well, and being the generations that are going to inherit the choices that we make, and I really appreciate that you guys are thinking about
the millennials
getting that.
Is on the block. We got to make room. We got to, get them under our wings so they can learn, and instead of all of a sudden being handed a bill of goods that, hey, what are we supposed to do with this?
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you for calling it in.
Yeah, thank you, guys, and I gave you a little email to get the word out there for us.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Aloha. I believe we have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Hi.
Hi, this is Organic.
Right on.
Peace. What up, Malcolm?
What up, my brother Thor? How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, man.
Good. Glad you called in, man. What's up?
Right on. I'm listening. Now, I just wanted to touch upon the backtrack a little bit, touch upon the environmental issue in terms of the weather. If I may ask, are you guys talking about the increase in heat, the increase in temperatures throughout the world, more or less, as well as in Kauai, correct?
That's correct. And I actually know that they're having like a big weather summit. I think they call it the G77 or something right now in Paris.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I just wanted to add some info because I think there might be a lot of misinformation, and I'm still learning. I'm not saying I know everything, but I think there's still a lot of misinformation at what might be contributing to the increases in temperature.
Okay.
And perhaps you guys are aware of, you know, methane gas produced by cattle.
Yeah.
So I think one real critical component of the climate debate, if you will, was where in reality it may no longer even be a debate because of consistent third, you know, party, you know, non-biased scientists, you know, bringing out this information to light. It's really the cattle industry and the deforestation throughout different parts of the continents, including the Amazon and South America, that have been contributing to a lot of the methane release and the climate changes and the increase in temperature. And there's a great documentary that I don't know if anyone listening
right now. Cowspiracy, is that the one?
Yeah, I think that should be advertised to be watched because it really puts a perspective, you know, in people's minds about their choices in food and their choices in, you know, I know Malcolm mentioned something about McDonald's and the poisoning of the mind through the food. And I think there's been a lot of poor choices just being made in general when you look at what's in the markets and what's in the stores throughout the island of Kauai, let alone the mainland and other parts of the world, where our dollars are going in terms of what our dollars are voting for, let alone what people, you know, what people are voting for in terms of in the booth for, you know, politicians and officials and leaders. It's really about where the money's going towards the food production. And I think when people watch Cowspiracy, it puts the numbers and the statistics in perspective so people can understand what really is taking place.
I will say,
on a global level,
it was interesting because Cowspiracy actually came up at this Bioneers conference that we were at, and like Annie Leonard, who is the executive director of she's the executive director of
Greenpeace.
Oh, I can't believe I'm forgetting that. And she did Story of Stuff, and a whole group of them all got like hot under the collar because they inferred in that film that the rainforest people didn't care about it and all that stuff. I think it brings up something very important, but it also maybe exaggerates the methane that comes out of the back of the animals. What is the problem is cutting down the rainforest to have the cattle. Like if you think about the Midwest in, you know, a couple hundred years ago, we had buffalo as far as the eye could see, and they pooped even more than the cattle, right? So it didn't have this kind of impact. It's what happens as we tear down the forests. Mm-hmm. To put the cattle there.
And it's not one thing or another, just
it's
like
all
everything.
It.
It's all
yeah.
cumulative. There's a tremendous amount of methane gas, as I understand, now being released from the permafrost
yes.
areas of the world. As they thaw, there's so much methane that would completely sink our climate if they continue to melt. So I totally agree with you, caller, and it's just a matter of not identifying one or another problem. They're all problems, and they all combine to, you know, this real difficult situation we find ourselves in, and we need a multi-pronged approach to solve the problems because it's not going to be just changing one behavior.
And I'm glad you brought up the film because it is a big issue, right? How much cattle ranching we have.
Well, I mean, the thing is that these environmental groups and, you know, that were interviewed in the documentary when they didn't bring up cattle as cattle production and deforestation as their prominent issue as one of the major contributors. This was an issue I had with when I was participating in signing petitions and donating money to these, you know, non-for-profit organizations that were not even utilizing that as a key focus. It wasn't at the top of their list. And it definitely is a multifaceted issue and issues. But the contribution of animal production, let alone dairy production and everything else that's involved with that and the GMO aspect, the amount of land that's being ravaged to produce GMOs to feed these animals, let alone to, you know, deforest and to create land to grow more of that stuff and to feed more livestock, is definitely multifaceted in terms of pollution for air and water and other wildlife.
It's a big issue.
And
so
cattle
really need to really, in my opinion, sorry.
No, please, go ahead.
They really need to focus on conscious eating, because I don't think people are really aware. When they get online and they sit at McDonald's and or any other fast food establishment for that matter, I don't think they really realize what amount of waste and amount of water that gets used in terms of when they buy that burger or they buy those, you know, fries or whatever it is, in terms of what they're really contributing to. So, and with that documentary Plan Eat, which followed folks overnight, it made clear sense about the culture of food and how important that is in terms of really dictating where we go as a species, as a culture or whatnot, in terms of what we're putting our money into, and, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, in terms of what do you really want to see progress. Because we can't have someone that's talking about, you know, avoiding plastic production and utilizing so much plastic, and obviously that problem in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or wherever it may be, that big island, quote-unquote, of plastic, and then not talk about, you know, or go ahead and, you know, consume excess amounts of beef throughout that
week.
And I think, and I'm sorry, one other point, and I think that the factor of, you know, go ahead. I just lost my train of thought, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I did notice, too, that the World Health Organization, you know, really kind of released something yesterday, I think, about finally owning that the nitrates in these processed meats. I've bought the nitrate-free things, but in sausage and all this stuff, that really does have a negative health impact. And I think what we work on really hard is eating locally grown food. And today even we have tortillas made out of cassava that a friend of ours made right from the yard and all of that. I appreciate your call. We have another caller holding, but I'm stoked you called in.
And just to add real quick, even the United Nations indicated that the majority of people should start going more towards a plant-based diet or vegan diet because of the state of the environmental destruction that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And because it also involves the fishing issues, the whaling issues. It's super multifaceted, so please, you know, get everyone watching Cowspiracy or even other documentaries about eating healthier, because that money will drive organic and biodynamic industries or companies and local communities will drive it up as we continue to boycott these multi-billion-dollar companies that are just feeding our kids poison. And that will also dismantle, in my opinion, the consistent production of genetically modified foods. They're growing more food to feed cattle, to feed livestock.
And cars. It goes into gas tanks. And cars. That goes into gas tanks, too. A lot of the cars.
However, when you look at the numbers, the actual amount of pollution created by the cattle industry and beef industry, livestock industry, outweighs the emissions combined. You got to look real close. I think, and this is information, I believe, is by non-biased scientists. So there's something to be looked at there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thanks for your call. Really appreciate the clarity on that.
Aloha.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Tommy Noyes.
Hi.
How are you today?
Really good. And you are kind of another example of community-based solutions.
Well, thank you. That's a very kind observation.
I know you do a lot of things. What have you been doing lately?
This past weekend, the Friends of Kamalani and Lydgate Park held their 11th annual National Make a Difference Day Community Work Day in Lydgate Park. And I've been serving as the general coordinator for that organization, for about 11 years as well. And we had 260 people spend the morning taking care of various aspects of Lydgate Park or feeding the volunteers, keeping them hydrated as they were working out in the sun.
So various aspects, does that mean the playground, the beach? What does that mean?
When we put together an event like this, our committee identifies tasks that we want to take on with this large workforce.
And how large is it?
Well, as I say, we had a total of 260 volunteers.
Wow.
Saturday. We never know exactly how many we're going to get, but we had a premonition that we would have a strong turnout, and in fact,
that's great.
Usually we've been running around 150, 180 volunteers, so to bump up to 260 was very gratifying.
It's fantastic. Wow.
Well,
what a turnout.
Yeah. And who am I speaking with?
This is Paul Massey.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Paul Massey from Regenerations is here.
Yes,
we went to Bioneers together, and you know we have the food forest, and I know that you guys did some tree trimming. We also have Malcolm Holden in the studio, too.
Hey, how you doing?
Aloha, Malcolm. I'm well, thanks.
So tell us, did you some planting? Or?
Yeah, so one of the tasks that we identified was replacing trees that had been planted back in 2006 or 2008 at the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Sports Park. That's the three soccer fields appended to Lydgate Park.
Yes.
Over the past, call it 8 years, some of the trees perished. Succumbed to what we call string blight, which is a little over-aggressive weed whacking that cuts into the bark and the tree perishes.
What kind of trees were they?
There were a variety of trees. The ones that line Lejo Drive are beech heliotrope.
Mm.
And, you know, once they become established, they're wonderful canopying shade trees. But we went in and replaced seven of those trees. We planted two monkey pod trees that had perished at the south end of the sports park. And then we introduced a new planting of 11 buttonwoods on the path that goes between the north and central sports fields. In addition, we spread black sand that had been trucked in by the county to level off the grade between the path and the turf, so that you wouldn't have a 3-4 inch drop off between those two things. Now,
and
all the plant materials were donated through the generosity of Leland Nishak, mm-hmm. owner of Kauai Nursery and Landscaping.
Oh,
so that
great.
Was a huge benefit to the county from Kauai Nursery and Landscaping.
We're plant people, so do you have a good plan to keep these ones alive? How's that? We want to make sure that these ones stay, right?
We absolutely want to make sure that they stay. And I think the skills of the parks staff has improved over the years, so the irrigation will be more closely monitored and more sensitively, hopefully, on the string, weed whacker trimming around the trees, so we don't have problems with that. Yeah, I think they will be experiencing a higher survival rate. I won't make a guarantee that they will, all 21 trees will survive, but, we'll do our best.
Well, we know something about the importance of the care, and that it's easier said than done.
Yep.
It's like the plants that are picked, and it's right there in the salt air. I'm all about food trees mm-hmm. being everywhere, but mm-hmm. these trees.
And in fact, the beech heliotrope is an edible tree.
Is it?
I was not aware of that.
Not sure how many people know that, but there's a fantastic book called Traditional Trees of Pacific Islands by Craig Elovich. And it's got a chapter on the beech heliotrope, a tree that people often think of as a native tree here because it's so common along the coast, but what a great choice for a tree that can survive the weather down there.
And we are really happy that you put those there. When we just went to this Bioneers conference, we learned how important the trees are even for city management, and how there's something called the tree people. And this guy who started it, his name was Andy Lipkus. He was in his early 20s when they started putting in the trees down on Martin Luther King Boulevard in L.A. And, you know, when they do the math on it, if they have the tree coverage down there, it stores the water, and they're able to manage the water. L.A. has enough water to drink, really, that just rains on it, even in these dry years, if they had the tree coverage everywhere. And so when I see we got the Tiger Grant, that's a national grant for Lihue to be doing the street trees in there and keeping that good, all those things really do matter. It makes a big difference to not be taking down our trees and to be adding them.
Yeah, I think
them.
We can slip into complacency here on the Garden Island and feel like we have adequate trees without putting effort into arbor programs, but I would beg to differ, and we do need to put thought and time and money into our trees and making sure that they're staying healthy and dealing with, of course, the invasives. You know, we're contending with albizia and some of the other species that are changing the landscape, and not always for the better.
Now, the trees, we know, keep the island cooler, it keeps the cities cooler, and then the other really wonderful thing with the trees is that it helps recharge the aquifer. It holds the water deeper and down. Instead of sheeting off, it absorbs them. I know in my yard, it used to be when I'd get a heavy rain, we could sit there and play with the bodyboard and swing my little kids around in the water. And then, and at that time, the way my land had been graded, the house was the highest piece on the yard. And because I have so many plants, I do all this permaculture in there, it's actually, we keep growing topsoil all the time. So now my house is the lowest part. It's like, uh-oh. You know, I probably gained a foot of topsoil in my yard. But when it rains, it doesn't have sitting water because of all the trees. So
right, it's a living asset.
It becomes a sponge. So it sounds wonderful. So I wanted to take this moment to thank those 260 volunteers, and I'm looking at some of these organization names. You know, they're. Do you want to throw out a few of these organizations? It looks like they did Hay Owl Cleanup and repairs,
right.
The park.
When we come up with our scope of work, we limit ourselves to 7 tasks, and that's about the maximum that we can take on at one time. So the tree planting was just one. We happened to put a lot of people on it because of moving all that sand. Hay Owl Cleanup was assisted by the Kapa'a High School Interact Club, I believe. And there are folks that, have a strong spiritual connection with Hikinakala Heiau, and they, frequently come out. Guy Holt and Alan Huber, of course, Analia Atkinson, who headed up that work.
I see Zero Waste was there.
Pat Geegan, assisted us in minimizing our, waste stream, yes. Another task, which is actually ongoing every Saturday morning, 8:30, is the beach cleanup. And we keep the swimming ponds, beach there at Lydgate Park, free of driftwood as much as we possibly can so that it's attractive. We feel very strongly that that's an ideal place for young children to become comfortable in the ocean.
Yes.
They can get their faces in the water. They can be comfortable. They're observed by a lifeguard. They're not going to be swept offshore. And I always like to think that we're, incubating a new generation of surfers, that if they can get in the water there when they're you know, toddlers. Hopefully they'll grow up to be Andy Irons' next generation.
Now I got to get regional on you and go, oh, North Shore. But, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's actually a really excellent, excellent place for beginning swimmers. And it's nice for even non-beginning people, you know, just to go down and take a dip. And for anybody who is needing gentle water for a workout. So I want to thank you so much. I know you do so many other things, and you help with you've worked with the Nahele Trail System. And so you are an excellent example of what we talk about with grassroots, community efforts, helping to be part of the solutions, and all these little things come together, and it doesn't take millions of dollars. It just takes a lot of willing hearts and hands.
We've scheduled our spring event. We encourage anybody that would like to help out in Lydgate Park on Earth Day 2016. Take a look at our website, kamalani.org, and you can reach out to us. We'd love to add you to our leadership team, and that's how we grow these events.
Okay, and real quick, I know your wife is with Lihue Business Association. Who's the next guest? And then I have to do the top of the hour.
Aloha.
Oh, okay. All right, aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And now we have a really special caller on the air. This is Dr. William Sears. We have Marge in the studio here, too. Dr. William Sears, are you there?
Yes, Felicia. Hi. Happy
Hi.
To be with you.
Yes, and so let me just tell a listener who might not know who you are. You wrote the baby book. You wrote probably 40 books on health. Is that right?
Yes, 42, actually.
42. I've heard of you, but I knew you were calling in, so thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for coming to Kauai.
We're looking forward to it. We actually, Kauai is my wife Martha's favorite island, and you know, you want to keep your wife happy. So
there you go, smart
man. I call her. Call her my wahine when I'm over there.
And she is also a really good medical resource as well. Yes.
Yes. She's a co-author of our books. And, in fact, our marriage has survived writing 42 books together as a real tribute, doctor and nurse.
Perfect. And so when I did look at what you're working on now, and it's not just babies, you also are working on, you've written books on elder care and being healthy in the prime time of your life in senior years. You kind of like
yes,
from...
In fact, we're giving three talks in Kauai there, Felicia. The first talk is on Tuesday, November this 10th, and it'll be at the Princeville Public Library at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm going to be talking about brain health for all ages. I'm going to talk about brain health during pregnancy as you're growing a little brain. I'm going to talk brain health during early childhood, teenagerhood, and finally into senior citizens as we get older. So it'll be mainly brain talk, brain health for all ages. And the reason that I was asked to talk about brain health, because for the first time in history, as of this year, brain illnesses have overcome cardiovascular illnesses as the number one ailment
in America. So that's on Tuesday. Mm. And then I'm going to do another, the same similar brain health talk for all ages in Koloa at the Kauai Christian Fellowship. That's in Koloa, and that'll be on Thursday night, November 12th at 6:30. And then the third talk, actually I'm giving, will be in Lihue, and that's at the Kauai Community College. And that's on Friday the 13th at 10 in the morning, 10 a.m. And that's when I'm going to be talking about more general nutrition for the family, steps to a healthier family diet for all ages, starting with how you feed babies and toddlers and picky eaters and teenagers, and how you get children to eat better food and smarter foods and healthier foods. And the emphasis will be on presenting information that the average listener has not heard before. I'm going to talk about some fascinating Nobel Prize winning research that has discovered that deep in our body is our own natural pharmacy, that we can make our own medicines. That's just one example of I'm going to try to do give a lot of new and exciting new information in a very fun and simple to understand way. And I finally, I also invite parents to bring their kids, because what I do during my talks is I invite kids to join me on the stage, and I kind of work them into the script and ask them funny questions, and they give funny answers. And it really opens the adults to pay more attention when they see these funny answers the kids give.
That's right.
And you, by trade, are a pediatrician, right?
Yes. I've sort of been a pediatrician now for 45 years, Felicia, but I've branched out into healthy aging also. And that's why our talks will be really for all ages. Grandparents and new parents and young parents and seniors. It'll be for all ages, and it'll be fun. I guarantee they'll laugh a lot and smile a lot. So I'm looking forward to it.
And I have had some people that are really excited that you're coming and had some questions asked. And there are people who are in recovery from difficult trauma like chemotherapy and radiation or exposure to pesticides.
Sure.
And how do you feel about, are you able to give them some guidelines to be reclaiming their health?
Oh, absolutely. And we call it transforming your health.
Okay.
And I am a cancer survivor, 18 years a cancer survivor. Colon cancer. So I guess I am in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest cause of cancer is exposure to pesticides is one of them. So I will be talking about prevention and how your body can recover from serious illnesses. And that's when I get into teaching people how to make their own medicines, that the body is the greatest pharmacy ever made. And so that's probably the highlight of our talk, is I will show some very interesting slides that they can follow easily, and basically how you can make your own medicines to lower the need for prescription medicines and to recover from, say, cancer or surgery or any brain health or colon health. Yeah, we'll be talking about that.
And this is accessible to anybody. I'm not allowed to say price even when there isn't a price, but it is in that
yes,
category. So
yes,
nobody should...
I can. It is free.
Okay.
It is free to the public, but you have to... The space is limited, so you have to register for the talks. There, Felicia, I'll tell your listeners how to register, you go to Eventbrite. That's E-V-E-N-T-B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com, and that will show how you register for any or all of the three talks. And we just need to know how many are coming. And if you forget that, we will be posting where and what times and all and when those three talks are on our own website tomorrow, and that's tomorrow afternoon. That'll be Ask Dr. Sears, that's askdrsears.com, askdrsears.com, right on the home page, and it'll show the three events and where they are and how you register for them.
Okay, and I am posting it right on my Facebook page, and I will also post it on the Kauai Soapbox Facebook page so that if they can't remember you, they can remember me, Felicia Alonji Cowden, right, or Kauai Soapbox for KKCR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we love your island so much, and it's sort of our way of giving back. We thought, well, we're going over there and enjoying your wonderful island. Perhaps we can leave after a week there, perhaps having given people a lot of health information to make their lives healthier and happier.
Well, it sounds super fun. Dr. Sears, this is Paul, and I have a question for you. In regards to your exposure to pesticides, just curious, how does a pediatrician get exposed to so much pesticides that you believe that it contributed to your cancer?
Well, Paul, you know, it's just not as a pediatrician also, is that if you spend, I got my cancer at age 57. Well, if you spend 57 years eating, say, an apple a day or a peach a day or fruit every day, and that has pesticides in it, over a long period of time, that builds up.
Yes.
And so that's one of the reasons I'm going all over the world, actually, giving talks to get parents especially. See, there are two times in your life, Paul, that you have to be especially careful. That's in the early years when your body and brain is developing and growing faster. See, kids, the growing tissues of kids, the rapid cell turnover of young children, are more vulnerable to the effects of pesticides when you're young.
Yes.
And then when you're older, I know this doesn't sound very nice, but our garbage disposal system, when we get older, say our liver, our way of getting rid of pesticides, it is weaker when we're older. So those are the two times in our lives we have to be as pure as possible in the early years and in the later years. And I will be mentioning a lot about that and why in my talks.
Well, I'm really excited that you're coming. And if there are people who want to go to more than one, I mean, it might seem like maybe there would be a brain health attendance, and then you're in the Office of Continuing Education and Training building. It's the OSET building, so it is not the Performing Arts Center. So it is a medium-sized venue, but maybe people might want to go to both. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. It's fine. And, in fact, what often happens, Felicia, is say a mom and dad come to one of my talks, and they say, oh, my gosh, my mother and father are my friend, or my sister or brother, they need to come to this, and so I'm going to insist that they come to the next talk. So that happens a lot.
Okay, good. And I got a text, and I was asked, are you going to any other island than Kauai?
Not on this trip, Felicia, but depending on, we're always ready to come if we're invited, and so we love Hawaii, and happy to come back anytime to any island.
Well, that's really great. Now, I have, just so people know, I have, while we've been talking, I have put the Eventbrite links on my own personal Facebook page, and I will do it later on the show's one. But so people can find that. I think it sounds really exciting. And, you know, I've been watching some of your pieces, and you seem like a very caring, humble man. You're the father of nine, is that correct?
Eight children. Although Martha, some week she jokes, I have nine children, eight kids and my husband.
Yes.
Well, you certainly sound like you have the wonder of a child and the joy of a child, but the wisdom of a trained professional.
Child, and sometimes I kind of act like a child, but that's what life is all about. You have to kids smile, and I think that's why they love being around them.
Great. Well, Dr. Sears, it's super to hear that you're coming to our island. And again, if people have an interest in finding out more about your work, ask Dr. Sears, SEARS.com, for more information. And did you say that the specific information on your talks on Kauai are going to appear on that website?
Just the title, Paul, and after the talks too, Martha and I'd be hanging around to talk to folks and all, because they'll have personal questions, and so it'll be just a nice time to the talks are about an hour, and then we're going to hang around a while to answer questions and visit with folks, and then we also bring we have some DVDs that have a lot of our health principles on them that people can buy for cost, and they're $2, and so we'll have a nice evening and a nice morning and a nice afternoon.
Wonderful. And again, we're saying Thursday, November 12th, Church of the Pacific.
No, Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes, the Tuesday the 10th.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The first one is Tuesday the 10th.
Tuesday the 10th.
At Princeville Public Library at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then Thursday the 12th at 6:30 at the Kauai Christian Fellowship in Koloa. We go from Princeville to Koloa, and then we wind up in Lihue. I think that's how you pronounce
yes.
it, L-I-H-U-E,
yep.
at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning at the Kauai Community College, room 106.
Great. Thank you for clearing that up. We'll look forward to seeing you then.
That will be on our website, too.
Fantastic.
It'll be on your website also.
So we're excited. So do you have any final thoughts for the listeners here in Kauai? And I know that you might be on Health Talk maybe next Monday.
Yes.
I see that, too.
Yes.
And, which is
and
Dr. Kaplan
Monday,
on Monday on KKCR.
At 11 o'clock your time. And, yes, and I emphasize to bring the kids. And perhaps I'll close with a story.
Okay.
How's that? Just give you an idea of what you can. I try to make things very simple and fun. And so I talk about when you're exposed to too many junk foods, like you eat junk foods. They go, I call it sticky stuff. That's how kids can remember the chemicals that are put in chemical food. I call it sticky stuff. And then I show pictures on how that sticks in our brain and how it sticks in the arteries. And after one of my talks, a mother told me this. The next day, the dad took the family out to, say, a burger joint. Let's call it Sticky's Burgers, okay? And they're driving into the Sticky's Burgers, and the six-year-old who had been to the talk the night before says to Daddy, Daddy, we can't put that sticky stuff in our mouth because we'll get sticky stuff on our brain and we'll get sticky stuff in our blood. Bingo.
Yay.
Yeah,
I got it. I know when my kids, when they were pretty young, they watched Super Size Me.
Yeah.
And what an impact that made, because they, when they were like in that 6 and 8 years old type of age range, they'd get the gimmies because they really like the gifts that come with going to these places. And we don't have any fast food places on the North Shore here. But so it would be a big exciting thing for them to go to one of the fast food places that offered a gift. And after they watched the Super Size Me, They stopped asking to go. And so 6, 8 years old is not too young to give them.
Wonderful. So we're going to do a lot of fun kid stuff that is easy to remember, such as the sticky stuff.
Yay. Well, thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Thank you, too.
Aloha.
Aloha.
We'll see you
Mahalo.
There you go. Mahalo. That's right.
Mahalo.
Okay. All right. Bye. So, more solutions. That's a really good way of looking at it.
Yeah, it's great to have physicians who really, you know, make kids feel safe going to the doctor and getting preventative solutions rather than reactive solutions. So Dr. Sarah sounds like a real treat.
Yeah.
Pretty stoked on his visitation.
And talking about treats, we have Halloween coming up.
Yeah.
And so at Ching Yung Village Shopping Center, they're having a costume contest at 4 p.m. That's on Halloween.
This Saturday.
October 31st. So at 4 p.m., they sign up at the center stages. So they have ages 1 to 3, 4 to 7, 18, 8 to 17, and 18 and older. And it is very much a fun event. When my kids were little, it was sort of a big deal. And then up in Kilauea, there's something really good goes on at the paint and feed store. And when we're talking about not eating sticky stuff, at the paint and feed store up there, they have a big Halloween party that's right next to the dentist's office, but it's all organic. Mm-hmm. And actually in Kilauea, through the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, and that's Jim and Harvest Edmonds who really help it, there's all this effort to have an organic, healthy Halloween trick-or-treating. So that is something going on there, too. So just because I had somebody text me and say they wanted Malcolm to play a song, so at least people are listening and they're going, okay, we want to hear this guy. But you didn't bring your equipment in to be able to create that.
No, like, I could next week. I could bring in my MPC. Actually, I could bring in my MPC and, like, live create a live beat, like, here at the studio.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's down. And then also, if you guys would like, I could also freestyle over what I'm creating. You know,
of course we want that.
And if I could bring, like, I have like Thor Gannick, who just called in. He's one of those high consciousness MCs as well. Like, if we could bring it,
yeah. And then there are music shows where, you know, it can just really sort of, you can do it where it's a big piece. But on this show, which is a talk show, we definitely bring a song in or two or three or four. You know, when I have musical people, especially if it's socially relevant music.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be. I've had different artists that are so fun. In fact, I won't actually name names, but I have some three amazing people who are almost kupuna, who are ukulele players, who are, I better not say their names so it's totally confirmed, but they are, you know, the long, long time people from here, and they have strong mana'o, or ideas about what's going on, and a good reflection on the history and the future. But they normally go to ukulele session during this show, so they're bringing the ukulele session to the show.
Ooh.
So we'll do that kind of music, mm-hmm. you know, for that right there. We were just talking about Dr. Bill Sears. I think that's really great that we have people who are interested in coming here. Kauai is a really nice place. It's kind of like what we were talking about with the Bioneers efforts, is bringing people who, you know, have lots of strengths. And something that came out this past week was a film series called The Truth About Cancer. There's 9 episodes. I ended up marathoning it and watching it, which did take some time. But it was really good, and it was really hopeful. It wasn't a bummer piece, and it looked at all these success stories in alternative medicine on it. And even with, like, when people are trying to detox from the treatment that they have had, and I have on my notes here to myself. I was just speaking a little bit before the show to Ron Hiroshko. He does a lot of this stage work for all the Hawaii Children's Theater. He also ran for county council last time, and that's when I met him, because I ran for county council. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the other, you know, candidates, and he became one of my biggest campaign proponents. I'm like, hey, you know, you're running too. He's like, you know, I think you're great. You know, so even when he was running, he started really campaigning for me, and I had just met him, but nice, really creative guy. And his wife, Mona Clark, she was one of the county attorneys, and we all got to know her when we had this 960 ordinance. She started to draft it, and it was really fun getting to know her. I think we were all like a little suspicious when we get a brand new attorney on that. That was something dealing with pesticides. That was a pesticide control ordinance that we were trying to put on the ballot. And that was for the 2491. Once it became 960, when we had a pesticide ordinance, she was working on it. And recently, I was actually going to a play with her. She'd gotten diagnosed with something, but it turns out that she has a lot of poisoning from when she had cancer. And so she has had too much radiation. And so right now she's at the, do you say Mayo Clinic or Mayo Clinic?
Mayo.
Mayo Clinic. So for people who know and love Mona and Ron, they send out their best wishes. She's over there for 7 weeks doing this hyperbaric chambers. Am I saying that right?
You're saying it right.
So, Paul, tell us what a hyperbaric chamber is.
Well, my understanding of hyperbaric chamber, it's a heavy-duty sealed environment that allows for a change in atmospheric pressure and is often used by people in treating, I think it's called hypoxia, but it's the nitrogen narcosis, the effects of
getting the bends,
basically nitrogen bubbles that are very small in size at depth, at pressure, and then coming up too quickly and not equalizing the pressure, these nitrogen bubbles expand in the bloodstream and can cause, ruptures and death and brain damage and all kinds of stuff. So putting somebody who's afflicted with this problem in a hyperbaric chamber over a period of days can allow for a very slow change of atmospheric pressure to alleviate the symptoms.
I guess another way that they use this is to put basically highly oxygenate your system, and then that it sort of infuses all this heavy oxygenation in your blood, trying to revitalize, in her case, the nerves. And sometimes when they do this really heavy, cancer can't thrive in an oxygen-rich environment. So it's a way of stopping cancer. So that's a really expensive, intensive way of working on it. But, you know, our prayers are out there for her and for that family, and that it works out well. And Sage, there's a guy in our community named Sage, and he's got a plant that he's been working with for, managing skin cancer. And Sage himself had pretty intensive skin cancer, and so he's been working with this plant called, Petisurge. And Paul, Petisurge, do you know a little bit more about that plant? Paul's a plant guy. But Sage is over there trying to get more so he could give it to his friends. Like, it grows better in Oregon. He's going over to Oregon he's working with chemists to get more of it out. Like, he gives these plants to people, and he works on it himself. But he's had quite heavy skin cancer, and it just absolutely taken away. And for a number of his friends, and you look at his skin where it's gone, no scarring, it looks more youthful. It's worked incredibly well for him.
Yes. And I know that Brother Sage has been working with this plant for some time, and I give him so much thanks and for, you know, these herbal healers who are looking to solving some of the biggest problems we have. And certainly skin cancer in the subtropics is a pretty big one. So many friends, as they get older in life, are faced with this problem. Petty Spurge, a member of the Euphorbia family and also the genus Euphorbia, of which there are many species in Hawaii, some of them endemic, but others naturalized, and this particular species, Euphorbia peplis, is naturalized on the main Hawaiian island, so you could already find it somewhere naturalized, meaning it's
in the world.
persisting in the natural environment without somebody planting it. It's spawning seed, that seed is falling and establishing, and that's what we refer to as a naturalized plant. So there is some concern that it can be invasive.
Right.
It could be more widespread than I'm familiar with. I certainly see spurges around, but this is sort of a giant spurge or larger, still a small herbaceous plant. But I don't know so much about the research, but I know that the plant is very easy to grow. So it's possible that if it's a powerful cancer fighter, that it's something that we could multiply quickly, perhaps in a closed environment if there is an environmental risk to cultivating it. It could be grown in a greenhouse, and then we could very easily be producing our own cancer-fighting agents.
And you can't call it that. As soon as you call it that, then they'll make it illegal. But it is something that he grows on his porch in pots, and that it needs a little bit of a cooler environment. So the higher up it is, the better.
Okay.
But it is working for people, and so, you know, that's really exciting. And I looked at his own skin, and his feet look like they're 20 years old. I mean, you know, for how nice and clear the skin is.
Wow.
And we have Marge in here. Hi, Marge. Are you, do you have something that you would like to share with us?
Yes, Felicia, thank you.
Put the mic right in front of your face.
Okay.
Thank you.
When I heard Paul was here on my way up here, I thought, I've got to stop by and ask him this question. 20 years ago, in October 1995, I hosted a permaculture workshop on our property.
Oh.
And I was not responsible for organizing it, but these folks came from Florida, and I came across a photograph, the photographs that I took of it, and we've got a group photograph of about 25 people. And I can only identify about five of us now, 20 years later. So what I would like to do is put out on the air, if anyone is listening that was at that permaculture conference workshop, it was a week long, I live on Waipoli Road. It was on 5 acres. And I need to give out my phone number so people can contact me. I want to identify these people, and then I'm going to blow up the picture really big. So
and you have to have a class reunion.
Or something. And it was just the person I think that was most responsible for contributing was, he's called Son now, but this is George Hadley, and you all may know
him. So did you
him.
Ask him? I just have to say you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, and this is Marge, and she is one of the founders. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I just would like to be able to identify these people. I'm real nuts about photographs and dating them, and I didn't date it, and I just accidentally happened by it. But I showed it to George Saturday, and he could identify a few, but not very many.
Ask Carrie Routman, too. She's been doing this a long time. Now, how about Ray Maki?
That's another person. I thought that he might actually have started it. He may have organized it. I don't know. I just showed up, and it was on my property, and I went to the workshop every day and learned, and I still have a huge book of notes, and it was very valuable. So I just wanted to let people know that permaculture has been around for a long time, and it's been around for at least 20 years on Kauai, if not earlier, maybe.
And
you
it's a new word for an old science. It means not bringing externals in, like you don't have to bring something in from the ship to make your plants grow. My Yarden is definitely a permaculture piece, and I rarely ever look at any kind of documentation. I do have friends like Paul who every once in a while says things, and I actually watched something in that Truth About Cancer, and it said put Epsom salt in your soil sometimes, and it makes your fruit sweeter. Do you know if that's true?
Sure.
Okay.
No, I certainly know that our soils are magnesium poor, oftentimes, and magnesium sulfate is what Epsom salts is. So as far as sweetening fruit, no, I didn't have that in my dictionary, but
well,
certainly
so,
we need it, and plants will show you when they're magnesium deficient as well.
And so permaculture, like, has been sort of a resurgence, a new word on this kind of older way of approaching agriculture, where it's, we also say polyculture, it's not monocropping, it's many different types of things, and certainly animals and plants together. And, you know, we're very excited about trying to really work on putting the culture back into agriculture. And, you know, when I hear the more serious or bigger industrial farmers saying you can't make money, they might be right, but you can make food. And so maybe it isn't all about the money. Maybe it's somewhat about the food. And I know that, like, I'm too lazy to go to the grocery store, and I pretty much eat out of my yard, and it's a lot cheaper. And we were talking about Sage, and he made me cassava tortillas, and that I'm going to start making those more. They're really great, and it works, you know?
It all does work, and it's a symbiotic relationship with everything on your property. We have a creek that goes through the property, so we were interested in possibly developing a lo'i there and controlling the water that comes down there, and then lots and lots of things, worm castings and humongous compost piles that look like huge loaves of bread that George had kept going all the time. So I just want to encourage anyone who was at that, it was in October 1995 in Wailua on Waipuli Road. My number is 823-8162, and my name is Marge, and I won't be able to pick up my phone until I get home, but leave a message and I'll call you back, because I really want to identify these people and talk story about what have they done since then. In these 20 years, we've done a huge amount on our property as a result of that workshop.
Okay.
And thank you for this program, and to this gentleman here,
Malcolm,
who talked about hip-hop. It was fabulous to hear how that has influenced his life.
Thank you.
All the positive comments and the difference between you and your little brother and what he's listening to. Thank you for those stories.
Oh, no problem.
How about your twin brother?
My twin brother, he's into hip-hop. Like, he's not as indulged in hip-hop as I am. He's more into, like, video games and stuff. But, like, whatever I listen to, he listens to, like, pretty much. So I try to get him, I try to pull him in as hard as I can.
When I was younger, my life absolutely revolved around the turntable. You know, music was everything to me. I still care about it, but it doesn't rule my life, you know.
Music is everything, and people need to realize that it has a big influence on the kids nowadays who don't really know any better. You know, people need to, like, really, like, pay attention, especially, you know, the parents need to really start paying attention to what their kids are listening to, because that's not the type of life anyone wants. Even the people who live that type of life don't want to live that type of life, but, you know, sadly they have to, because they're in that type of area.
Well, I've heard some different stuff even about music in as a healing therapy.
Oh, it's definitely a healing therapy. Definitely. It really is. If you, like, ever, like, put on, like, so if I were to play an old school, not even old school, but if I were to play a hip-hop song and then play a mainstream song, you would be able to feel the difference, different feelings, different emotions, because in the mainstream, it's kind of robotic, you know, it's robots, you know, to me, that's how I feel. I don't feel anything, it's kind of...
Well, especially maybe if it's a drum machine or it's synthetic.
I guess so, because I use a drum machine, but it's also a sampler, so I get to pick out from, like, different genres of music.
Uh-huh.
You know, people don't... What's up?
Maybe you could find a good hip-hop song up on that wall over there. There's a great wall of CDs here in the studio.
Ooh.
And maybe you could pick out a good hip-hop song for us to close up the show with.
Oh, I would love that. All definitely right. Love that.
And when we were listening to K-Non,
mm-hmm.
what kind of music would you say that is?
It's hip-hop.
It's not rap?
No, that's hip-hop. That's okay. Straight up hip hop. That's nothing but love right there.
Well, it's nothing but love, but I thought it was rap.
No. That's he's emceeing. There's a difference.
What does MC mean?
MCing is a microphone controller, microphone master. It's just like someone who, you know, MC, like a president is an MC. Anyone who gives speeches is an MC.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're MCs. What we're doing right now, we're MCing. You know, that's what I believe it is. Someone who's trying to put out a positive influence is an MC. And
that's KKCR is, really. Yeah. Our whole mission statement.
It's nothing but MCs up here.
Is love.
Yeah, it's nothing but MCs and DJs up here. Like, that's why I wanted to come and join, because I could feel the love and I could see it. And, like, you guys are really making a change throughout people's consciousness, because that's what people need is a change in consciousness. And it starts with music.
Yeah.
And it starts with music and healthy eating, being a good person, having good moralities. You know, that's where it all begins. And then as soon as you get that, that's when you can actually start changing your environment around you, because it all begins with you. You know, as soon as you could get the consciousness to rise up for yourself and have knowledge of self, you could bring your brothers and sisters around you up with you, because we're humans. We have a stimulus enhancement. We look at someone and we see them building something, and we just look at them and we're allowed to build it without any instructions and make it better. So that's what I believe in. If we see someone in a positive state, we look at them, we say, okay, I want to do that, but how can I make that better? You know, we have the capabilities of doing that, because we are superheroes. All of us are superheroes.
Like, that's such a great attitude. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Like, this is a great big passion for me, and I'm ready to like stand up for my culture, because it's a culture. Like,
and you're welcome to look online right here, too, and pull something off the internet if there's a song that you really love.
Oh, yeah. I already got a song, 2 songs.
Okay. Well, I will plug it into my machine over here if that's the kind of thing that I can stick the little. It's so funny.
Yeah, do you have that little cord? If you have that little cord.
I got the little cord.
That's perfect. That's all I need.
Well, we were talking. Yesterday we had a programming committee meeting, and afterwards Jonathan and I were talking. He was one of the person from Out of the Box for a couple few hours afterwards, thinking about what would make our shows and the station. We had this big brainstorming experience of coming up with good ideas, and I was identifying one of my challenges is running the music piece right here. We'd like to cross-pollinate with some of the music DJs, because I'm all so used to just managing the talk.
Uh-huh.
That I get a little struggled, but let me
see. So, what do you guys want? One with lyrics or just
I like lyrics.
Okay, lyrics. Okay, I got you.
Make me feel happy. And John Gordon is walking in. He's Jazz with John. John, you rock. So as we get ready for that, I'm gonna throw out just a few of the little political things. Like, my show often has got politics in it, and we will have, in fact. John does our county council report at the end. I want to work on having a recorded boards and commissions report. People take those things for granted, but I tell you what, you know, when people don't show up, these huge topics are managed without us, and it almost undermines democracy. It's wonderful people in a room making decisions that we are not a part of. So I believe I got a caller on the line.
652.
So let me see. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
You're very welcome. This is Alan the Beat Guy.
Oh, hi.
I heard Marge talking about the 1995 permaculture course.
That's right, and you were there. You're one of the few people I can recognize.
I found a mailing list of the attendants.
Oh, fabulous.
And for the purposes of confidentiality, I won't read off any of the names, but there's a lot of recognizable names on this list.
That'd be wonderful. And I'll give you a call when I get home or tomorrow, and make sure you have my address, and I'm sure you have my email, and you can just jet that off to me. I very much appreciate your call, Alan. Thank you.
You betcha. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you. So as Malcolm is getting a song queued up. Paul, do I have another caller?
You do not.
Okay, so he's getting a song coming up. Here's one other thing that I saw today that I was like, oh my, you know, it made me feel a little uncomfortable. The Department of Hawaiian Homelands has got a new set of rules that they're coming up with. And that it they want to do genetic testing on people that are looking for land. And I'm like going, really? Wow. Feels a little dark to me. So we got to brighten it up and lighten it up. And John, you're here. Make sure I'm ready. Okay, are you ready for the song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's say play it. All right, it's coming on. Listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and we've got Malcolm Holden helping us out. And that song was by Ali.
Yes, yes.
Okay, got to get on the mic. All right.
Let's see. Hey, how do you spell Ali? Am I on?
Yeah.
All right, so how you spell Ali is A-W-H-L-E-E. He is a producer. I don't know who was singing, but just look up Ali. And have fun, you know.
And you got another song for us, and you're gonna.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind me freestyling and putting on an instrumental, like I would love to do that.
Okay, go ahead. And this is Kauai Soapbox, and it's Malcolm Holden in the studio. Oops, so we're gonna like move that to another song. No. So that's like community radio.
This is a Black Star KOS instrumental. So anyone out there who's digging this instrumental, you know, look it up. If I'm here next week, I'll bring in my NPC, make more beats, and introduce it to you guys and freestyle over there. But
This music that I feel inside of me is real. You know what, man? I have no deals or many deals. You wanna mess with me, man? I'm trying to eat my meal. I wake up in the morning every day so I could get some work in. You know what, man? My mind's berserking. You wanna mess with me, man? I ain't a jerk kid. All I wanna see is the unity between the people and you and me. I don't wanna see the anger, don't wanna see the hate. All I wanna do is participate in the love movement, the love movement. I'm trying to be striving and proving what I'll be blessing, but you know what, I'll be stressing. Cause I ain't trying to eat McDonald's, ain't trying to drink a beer. I'm just trying to see my peers with no tears in the tear ducts. Oh man, I do want to curse, but I can't cause I'm on the radio stream. Oh, who is he? It's the brother on the MI. Yes, you want to mess with me, but I am semi kind of glad that I'll be on the radio station. Not the PlayStation, cause I got no time for frustration. I want to see the nation grow and prosper. But you know what, man, when I grab the microphone, I be dropping like a hot plate. Don't make no mistake, when I grab the microphone, I had to take it all in place, yes, let me be like Mace, get up in your face, but when I attack, I don't feel esteem, or even a minor cut. Wanna mess with me, man, you really couldn't get even close. You is my brother, and you is my sister. You know what, all of us need to sit down and listen to one another. Our feelings need to be open from our chest, from our heart, from the deep part of our brains. But you know what, let me grab the microphone and tell you that I'm insane, kind of. But you know what, man, let me grab this microphone real quick so I can be spinning out my spinal cord. And yes, I hit the guitar strums, but you know what, when I hear the bum drums, bass go through my face, I hear the vibrational shake like platonic plates. Dang, it's kind of great. When I get down in the mood, I grab the microphone, yes, I take it down like some gin. But I don't drink alcohol, cause that's bad for my liver. I don't smoke the marijuana, cause that's bad for my mind. Oh yes, let me grab the microphone so I can recline in my chair, make some beats and some rhymes. And I be chilling, just trying to be cruising. But you know what, man, my mind has no time for bruising. I don't want to be losing my fate or my destiny. I know all the little kids out there want to be testing me. But here you go, here's an apple. But every time I grab the microphone, here goes a snapple. I be snap, crackle, and pop. Let me grab the microphone and tell you about how I feel about the hip-hop. It's nothing but the love. It's nothing but the passion. But you know what, man, my breath, I'm always be grasping. Cause I know I'm never new to this. I grab the microphone so I can seek inside your nucleus. Your DNA starts to re-NA to exchange information. But you know what, man, I grab the microphone and start never hating. Cause I got no hate in my bones. I grab the microphone so I can throw you love and some more. Grits and food and soul. But you know what, man, I'm on the move like a mole. Let me get underground like I was a groundhog. Let me grab the microphone so I could hold it really tight. Bring the bright lights to you and me, you and I and you. But you know what, man, who is you? I don't know, but I really want to get to know everyone. All the people that I see is equal. There is no white, there is no Mexican. No, there is no white, there is no black, there is no yellow. We are the modest fellow. Let me grab the microphone, cause every time I do it, I'll be shaking like some jello. I'll be spitting, never quitting, and never written. Let me grab the microphone, I am friends with some midgets. Oh man, I got no hate for anyone. Even if you got hate on me, I'll just take some time to make you realize that there's no point. Let me grab the microphone like most kids do the joints. You gotta put it down now, you sad clown. Pick up the mic so you could see the light. The device right here is the spiritual awareness. Grab the microphone and you know I'm never careless. I don't want to be speaking about nothing but the truth. Let me grab the microphone, I'll be in the booth. My mind is going kind of crazy, never lazy. But you know what, I know I'm kind of crazy. Now I'll be going down in my whip and thinking about life. Everything, man, it evolves around the mic. It goes into your brain cause I feel the frequencies and the vibrationals get into you and me. We is brothers, we is sisters, we is family. You know what, man, there is no time for tragedies. Even when it happens, our hands gotta get in line and start applauding like a clapping. Oh yeah, now let me start ripping and rapping. MC is what I am, hip hop is what I am. It's not what I do, don't you ever get that confused. This is my love, this is my heart, this is my guts, my fingers, my toes. Every time I look up my nose, I see some gold. Man, I'm just kidding. Let me grab the microphone, I wish the brother Mammoth was here spitting with me. But he's on tour, you know what, good for him, good for us. I know all of us is some stars, so can we get the dust and put it together? I know I'm made from nitrogen, but let me grab the microphone and a pad and a pen, then I do it again. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Malcolm Holden. Right on. And you are listening to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, the station that does love you.
And can I put something out there? Anyone who wants to, you know, try to produce, not even produce, but trying to get on a track, you could call me up at 661-312-8802. I don't, you know, segregate. Just come with some love. I'm not trying to be anywhere close to the hate. Just hit a brother up.
And then give your number one more time. That would do it slow.
Oh, okay. 661-312-8802. And then look me up on Facebook, Recycled Materials. It's spelled RCYLDMTRL.
Right on. Yeah. Well, good. And so, and John, this is Malcolm, and he's looking to maybe do a show. And so he's another person who wants to volunteer. And Kauai Community Radio is got its doors open, and we look for people who have a lot that they want to share. And, you know, coming in, like right now, him helping with the show, that's one of the ways where you get some exposure and you see if it feels comfortable for you. And you look like you're kind of a happy man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost time for Jazz with John. And so we're going to all
jazz.
Be saying aloha. So do you have any final thoughts? We're going to get quick final thoughts from you, quick final thoughts from Paul, who stays away from the mic, and then we're going to hear the county council report. So, final thought?
Paul, you can go.
Live hip-hop in the studio. That's what it's all about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Hope you will find a slot here at KKCR to bring those vibrations into the studio. And it's just been great being here, Felicia, with you on Kauai Soapbox, and just really grateful for this venue and for all the ears.
Who's on your show tomorrow at In the Garden on the Farm?
Well, it's a very special show. Tomorrow is Robin's last show.
She's awesome.
So please tune in. We're going to focus in on feasting, and there'll be a lot of celebration and appreciation shown for Robin, delightful woman who's shared the show for the past couple and a half years, and sure are going to celebrate her tomorrow. So In the Garden on the Farm tomorrow, noon to 1 on Kauai Community Radio. Check us out.
All right. Quick aloha.
Quick aloha. I just want to thank Felicia for picking me up 3 months ago, and now I'm here in this radio station. What was I going to say? I want to give shout-outs to my moms and my stepdad and my brothers and my boy Cody and my girl Jessica and my best friend Jeremy and my boy Patrick, who's, you know, he's somewhere else. Like, he's not dead or anything, but, like, you know, he's doing some time. So I just want to spread much love out there. And like I said, anyone who wants to, like, connect and try to collaborate, just hit me up on Facebook. I just gave out my number. If you need it again, it's 661-312-8802. I'm here to spread the love and the joy and the passion. So, you know, hit me up if you're trying to spread out that same message. Aloha.
Aloha. And Jazz with John is next. Here is the County Council Report. Thank you for listening to Kauai Soapbox.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of October 26th. There will be a council committee meeting this week. The meeting will be Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here highlights from the agenda. The Budget and Finance Committee has four bills on their agenda. They include Bill Number 2597 and 2598, amending an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the Highway Fund and revising the amounts in the Highway Fund CIP. These are for the Puy Road 20% county match, and the CIP budget item is $268,000. Public hearing was held on both of these bills on October 21st. The Assistant Chief Procurement Officer, Budget Chief, requests council approval to dispose of procurement work folders and other material pursuant to the Hawaii Revised Statutes in Resolution Number 2008-39 as amended, which has been kept for over 7 years, and these are no longer of value or use. And this was referred on the 21st of October. The Director of Finance requests agenda time to discuss the new OpenGov subscription that allows the county to improve on fiscal transparency for the public, for county departments and its internal users, as well as to promote a better understanding of the county's overall operations. Committee of the Whole has received communications on the 21st of October from Councilmember Chalk, Chair of the County Manager Subcommittee, requesting agenda time to present a preliminary hearing by the County Manager Subcommittee. The View Meetings or Meeting Archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcast meetings. Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News.